it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got to be delicate with those calves.
You know, we all going through something.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Don't forget, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. All right. Before we introduce our next guest, I'm going to tell him he has fallen big time on my Villanova former athlete power rankings. I now have Brian Westbrook, Howie Long, Jalen Brunson, Ed Pickney, and then Brian Finneran, the host at 680, the Fan, Villanova grad, because he was late. And my boss is hot.
What's up, B?
What's up, man? How you doing? Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, my pleasure. Listen, we need to fix that phone number, for God's sakes. It looks like a marketing telemarketer call or something. 888, no city, no nothing, no idea what was going on. So I apologize. That was my fault.
No apology needed. Thank you so much for joining us. And my first question to you, Brian, would be, you know, is this Falcons team different than what a lot of people think their reputation is and has been?
I think so. It is. It's all kind of come to a head this year. We weren't sure exactly what we were getting into. I think we knew what we had with Bijan Robinson, but Michael Penix starting at quarterback was kind of a question mark. He only had three games last year. Drake London came into his own last year, 1,000-yard season. A couple of rookies we knew were going to have to show up and make some plays. But yeah, I really do. I think this is the year where I think we finally turn the corner and figure out how to win games. Now, I don't know what the hell happened 3 weeks ago against the Carolina Panthers. Sometimes you just have a game like that where nothing works, and that was that game. But to bounce back from what it was probably the worst game I've seen in a couple years, to bounce back and beat the Commanders and then take care of the Bills on Monday Night Football is pretty sweet.
Brian, I got to tell you, this last Monday night as you guys hosted the Buffalo Bills, I get my dinner ready, and I think I know what I'm about to see. And I was shocked and told my partner, like, that defensive line for the Atlanta Falcons got after Josh Allen all night. So I don't want to use the word underrated, but I underrated them. Just talk to us about that unit and how impactful they need to be to make it difficult, you know, this Sunday night for what looks like to be Mac Jones.
Yeah, it's a group that's been led by Grady Jarrett for the last decade. And they had some good seasons and some bad ones as well. But David Onyemata, we got in free agency from the New Orleans Saints a couple few years ago, and he has taken over an ownership and leadership role as a defensive tackle on that defense, leading from the interior. And then you can throw in a bunch of 2- and 3-year guys and rookies that are all performing somehow, some way. And I think you got to go back and look at Jeff Ulbrich and the hiring Raheem Morris, our head coach, hired Jeff Ulbrich as a new defensive coordinator. You guys are familiar with him. He played, I think, probably a decade for San Francisco. And the dude can get guys to play for him. So it's Zach Harrison, I think a kid out of Ohio State that's in his third or fourth year. It's Arnold Ibukati that's been around for 3 or 4 years, showing up finally. Aruka Rororo, Brandon Dorless. Nobody knows these names,
right?
But they are flat out playing some good football. And then you throw in a couple rookies and James Pierce Jr. and my man Jalen Walker from Georgia. And it's all just working. For whatever reason, it's just working this year.
You're listening to Brian Finneran. He's the host at 680 The Fan, our sister station in Atlanta. 10 years in the NFL, 9 with the Falcons as a wide receiver. You know, when people out here talk about Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the 49ers, they say, you know, great play caller, great schemer, noted for pre-snap motion, an offensive, you know, genius, if you will, or really innovative. If I asked you, what does Raheem Morris hang his hat on as a head coach, how would you answer that?
What a great question. Holy moly. Raheem Morris is, I think, first and foremost, a player coach, player's coach. He doesn't seem like there's a lot going on for him on the sideline in game. I have to believe that during the week he gets with his defensive staff and gets his input in there and then lets him kind of cook, gives him some stuff and lets Joe Fahlberg do his thing and kind of stays out of the way, I guess. But we as a Falcon franchise and a Falcon fan base have kind of been trying to figure out what exactly Raheem is doing most of the game. I'm sure there's some motivational stuff. I'm sure there's some stuff he talks to Ulbrich about him. But there have been some issues like timeouts, situational 2-minute drill type stuff where it just kind of looks like something else needs to happen and he's not pulling the trigger. So all those things you said about Kyle Shanahan, I would agree with. And on the flip side, Raheem seems to be just like a, almost like a, what do you call those dogs you take on the airplanes? Like a comfort?
Yeah. Comfort, you know, animal?
Yeah, something like that. But, I mean, whatever it's doing so far, it's working for the most part this year. So I like the guy a lot. I played against him in college. So he played safety and corner and did some things. And he's the second time around as a head coach. And I think he's getting better every single week. But it's a great question because I don't know exactly what he does on the sideline all game long.
Wow. Hey, Brian, I got to ask you, you know, the Niners just lost to Baker Mayfield and, you know, people are clamoring and yelling MVP. I know it's early, but man, he's turned his career around. But you got a guy in the backfield, Bijan Robinson. And not only is he in the backfield, you guys are lining him up wide. You played in the league. Does he remind you of anybody? And what is it like watching him on a weekly basis, man? Because he looks special.
He's as special as it gets, brother. I mean, I'm talking about the shiftiness, the cut. I've never seen him get up from a big hit from a linebacker or safety and even flinch or limp or shake it off. He's like a RoboCop, dude. He can't seem to be, there's no weakness to his game. I have yet to see, even when he's in the backfield chip blocking and helping pick up blitzing linebackers and defensive linemen circling around and kind of stunting TEs and ETs, he will knock their ass in the dirt too with big chip blocks and everything else. I haven't figured it out yet. I hope we don't figure it out and you guys don't figure it out on Sunday Night Football because the dude is an absolute monster.
Brian Finneran joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's a host at 680 The Fan. That's our sister station in Atlanta. Played in the NFL 10 years, 9 with the Falcons. All right, so real quick out here in San Francisco, the backup Mac Jones is playing. Brock Purdy's on the shelf. The 49ers acquired Kendrick Bourne, who Mac Jones played with in New England, developed an immediate rapport. Juwan Jennings is a receiver who's not getting the ball. He's not happy. You, I got to believe, as a receiver, have been involved in a lot of situations where there's quarterback uncertainty. What's a wide receiver's role with the coaching staff influencing, if you will, what the team and the receivers prefer?
I think to answer the question, I think you mean like what do they have to do or be willing to do when you got a backup quarterback in the game? We've had it happen a couple of times. I was able to build a rapport with a lot of our backup quarterbacks because I only had about 1 or 2 years where I was an actual starter. Other than that, I was like a third down special teams guy. So during scout time or when I needed help going against a defense, I would jump in there and work with Matt Schaub or some of our backups that were over there at the time. And you develop a relationship with those guys and you just try to help them as much as you can, whether that's blocking for Christian McCaffrey and trying to get him loose in the run game or just being as positive as possible. Because as a backup quarterback, I know Mac Jones has done it before, but you cannot have like his head swimming about who he's trying to get the football to or who's bitching or whining the most in the huddle or on the after you come off the sideline and nobody's getting the ball and everybody's frustrated. You just try to put the selfish stuff behind you and do whatever you can to help the quarterback be his best and win a game, which should be the case all the time. But, you know, for some of us receivers, that's just not the case.
Man, Brian, when I found out we were having you on, I got to go here, and it's not fair, man, but I'm just random, hashtag random. Last week, the Hall of Famer Michael Irvin was very passionate about some young guys saying that the receivers nowadays are way better and faster. And I know it's hard, Brian, comparing eras, but I just want to get your thoughts on, with the way that the game is called, is in some type of way it easier to be an NFL receiver now compared to back then during your day and Michael Irvin's?
Yeah, especially Michael Irvin. They were trying to rip his head off. And I went against guys like Ed Reed and John Lynch and guys like that, that definitely tried to take our heads off and didn't feel bad about it at all. Mm. It's probably an easier time to play football with the contact rules and the lack of big hits over the middle. Cause there at times there was a fear factor for some people. I never really had it. I always attacked the football and tried to avoid those big hits the best I can. Plus I was a bigger bodied receiver at 215 where I could take some of those hits. But, and listen, Michael Irvin, I'm not sure speed was ever part of his game, and it sure as hell wasn't part of my game, but we used great route running, big hands, long reach, big catch radius. And you tried to, we were Moss and dudes before Moss was Moss and dudes. So we were trying to do that kind of stuff and make it happen. So we had speed guys, and Randy Moss was the guy who could turn it on at any point and run 4.2. So I think at every era of football, there's always going to be different types of players. It's about how the rules change and then what it means for the quarterback. I mean, they want quarterbacks to be upright and delivering passes down the field and making exciting plays. And the rules have changed. And I think it's for the better for the players. Hopefully they play longer careers and stay healthier and it moves forward. But yeah, I tended to agree with Michael Irvin. He was super passionate about it. That's for sure.
Hey, so what are you seeing from your guys, your receiver, the young man, Mr. London?
Dude, he's great. I kind of, and listen, I see a little bit of myself in him, and it's just a small, small piece, but he is so physical to that football. He's not afraid of anything. He attacks the ball every time it's in the air. He's more athletic than I was and is faster, but that dude is 6'4", 215 pounds, athletic, played volleyball, I think, in college a little bit. He can jump and get on top of people. He's just been a kind of like, he's almost like a little bit of a throwback to receiver because there's not a lot of ton of style and swag to him, but he's a grinder and he's a sick athlete and he can make some serious plays.
Brian Finneran joining us on 95.7 The Game. 10 years as an NFL wide receiver, 9 with the Atlanta Falcons. Juwan Jennings got into a little sideline altercation with Kyle Shanahan late in the second quarter of Sunday's game. And, you know, he's a good receiver. He's a good receiver. I'm looking at your numbers. I mean, you had a long career in this league. You had some real nice years. How did you confront the coach if you wanted a more expanded role?
I was a company man, my friend. As Roddy White called me years ago, I was trying to get him to pull his head out of his rear end. He said, I'm a company man. And that was true too. I tried to stick around the league, fellas, as long as I possibly could. And you guys, you got it right. I played 10 years, but I got paid for 12 because I was on IR for 2 years. You and Roddy both tried to tell me I only played 10 years, but when I got paid for 12, I told everybody I played for 12. So that's what I did. I think it's probably frustrating for Juwan Jennings because of the year he had last year and then a slow start going into this season. You just start feeling yourself a little bit when you have big seasons like that, and I guess you expect the ball to come your way. So hopefully he can kind of figure it out, be more of a team player, and realize that this is bigger than him, especially when, like you guys talked about, like especially when you have a backup quarterback in there. Everybody's got to be on the same page. You're going to be in big trouble trying to find a way to win football games.
Brian, we saw Jimmy Garoppolo get to the heights of a Super Bowl under the tutelage of Kyle. Brock Purdy come out of nowhere, mystery relevant in the draft, and here comes Mac Jones, who I thought was done or didn't have the goods. Can you speak just to, as a former player, how shocked you are, or are you shocked at all, on what you're seeing with Mac Jones under the tutelage of Kyle?
Kyle Shanahan, as much as I have a problem with what took place in the Super Bowl years ago, I try to not talk about it, but for whatever reason, it keeps happening. So Kyle, for those of the listeners out there that don't remember, he was our offensive coordinator when we went to the Super Bowl and took an L to the Patriots. But to that point, Kyle Shanahan is a brilliant offensive mind. He does a great job using players to the best of their ability and even gets more out of them than a lot of guys. So I have no doubt in my mind that Kyle can help Mac Jones be a great quarterback. If he listens and studies and understands what they're trying to do, they can make it work. So that's my point. I'm just like, if the offense buys into what Kyle's trying to do with those guys, even though they're all banged up on the defensive side of the ball, They're losing star players left and right. Quarterback's out. Kittle's been out for 4 weeks, whatever it is. It's just you got to trust in the process and trust in Kyle, and hopefully it'll work out for them.
Hey, real quick before we let you go, Brian, can I assume you weren't heavily recruited out of high school? I just noticed you're from California, yes. And you ended up at Villanova.
Yeah, I have an identical twin brother, Brad, and I don't know if they gave out half stars, but if they did, I probably got a half a star way back when. And Villanova, I got some lukewarm looks from Oregon and Oregon State back in 1994, but at the end of the day, we had one football scholarship offer, and it was to Villanova, and it was for both my twin brother, Brad, and I, and we jumped at the opportunity to go to a great school and do that. And my number one goal at the time was to get a good education from a great university and go find a job when I was done having fun playing some football.
Oh, that's a great story. How's your brother doing now, if I can ask you?
In what position was he?
We both played wide receiver. My junior and senior year, we were really good. We were number one in the country my senior year, 11-0 in the regular season, and lost in the semis to Youngstown State. But anyway, he's in California. His daughter is a senior at Santa Margarita Catholic High School, and he coaches the girls' flag football team over there, along with Carson Palmer, coaches the boys' varsity over there now.
All right, so he's coaching at the high school he went to.
That's exactly right.
That's cool. Hey, yeah. Brian, man, thank you so much for joining us. Hey, you were worth the wait, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, sorry about that. Again, enjoyed talking to you guys.
No problem. That's Brian Finneran, played 10 years in the NFL, nine with the Falcons. He's now a host on 680 The Fan, our sister station in Atlanta.
He's got something in common with you, he said.
What?
The company man. I love him, man. I said I knew what I was. Wow. Dude, he was great, man.
Not a big Raheem Morris fan.
What was that? Evan got in my ear on that one.
I believe
one.
The term was service animal.
You know,
dude,
what?
Wow, man.
He was saying that, I thought, you know, comfort. I should have just not said anything because he was like, what are they called? Comfort?
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
As the president of the black coaching delegation, I wanted to jump in like, damn, they're 3-2. But
it sounded like he's still trying to figure it out.
Man.
He also kept himself from going in on Kyle.
Yeah, man, he did. He's boy.
Yeah, he did.
There was something there for sure.
Finneran.
Yeah. Bijan Robinson, Sonny. I mean, right behind Baker. I'm just saying. MVP. The dude's special, man. 98 yards a game. That's second in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching him. I've seen the numbers. They look pretty good.
Is Atlanta better than you thought after the Monday night game?
What are they, 3-2?
Yeah, yes. But they beat Buffalo.
Yeah, and they so beat somebody good before them that we couldn't remember last week. By the way, you made
so
a mistake
bad
earlier.
Against Carolina, Tim.
It's the Bengals tonight, not the Browns on Thursday Night Football.
No, it's the Browns. Yeah, that's what I said. What did I say?
You said Browns.
And you know why?
Yeah, because Flacco is on the Browns. It's
no,
fine.
They're showing the Browns-Steeler game, but you're right. It's Joe Flacco.
I definitely wasn't on my bingo card.
Let's go to Filmo, Mike.
Mike!
The hell? Got nothing else to do.
This
what's up, Filmo?
Guy.
What's popping?
Hey.
Nah, I'm just chilling, and I've just, you know, just been laying back, and I've been listening, and the most preposterous thing was said. Guru said that he talks less than Steiny.
That's true.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike,
but you gotta incorporate when you cut them off sometimes.
Oh wow! All right, Mike.
You
wow.
Have to incorporate. Okay. But no, you no. But if I talk, my point is, if I talk as good as you, and the way that you talk, and you like, you're very spontaneous, and your gift of gab is second to none. So if I talked as well as you, I probably would talk as much as you, but the way you explain things, you break it down, you put a metaphor on top of a analogy, on top of a your paragraph, bro, it's genius.
Hey, Mike,
Right on, Mike.
And Mike, you sound a little subdued.
Where you at?
I'm at the house, man. I'm having a little.
Let's leave it there.
Oh, okay.
Let's leave it there.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
You're the man, bro.
Just know that 10-2 loves you.
Yeah.
We love you, buddy.
Oh man, I love y'all back, man. And I like how y'all incorporate Evan. I won't be able to make the thing this weekend because y'all start too late. But the next time y'all play in the morning on the East Coast, I'm there.
Yeah, laughing
Mike. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. That's Philmo Mike.
Yeah.
Bay Area
he said
legend.
He was 420 in. He sounded different. Yeah, he's in
140.
Hey, get it in.
Something was
I
up
know
there,
people but... that wake and bake. I can never do it. Like, you gotta know who you are. I just get stupid. I quit.
I mean, on vacation?
That's
a, you know.
Yeah. Never, wake and bake.
Never at work.
Yeah.
Never at work.
Dude, he was good, Brian.
Yeah, he was great.
What do you think it is about Kyle?
He blew it.
He said, don't get me started.
Hey, yeah, he did say that. Wow.
Incredible. Oh, we got a guy wants to get in here. G Money in San Jose wants G. to. I don't know what he would want, and why I would need to get to him so quickly. But hey, G Money, how you doing?
Hey, yo, what's up, Steiny? How you doing? What's up, Goo? Hey, I got some breaking news for y'all.
Right?
I got some breaking news. Okay. Hey, so I got you guys on the YouTube. I got y'all on the YouTube while I'm working on the work computer, and I'm watching some TV, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with First Things First.
It's one of our shows.
I heard y'all talking about Steiny's skills earlier, and it just so happened, they were talking about how the media gets together playing ball and whatnot, and they were saying, oh yeah, you know, how's Stephen A. Smith? They say, oh yeah, Stephen A. Smith can shoot, he can play.
Wow.
They go, okay, Broussard, who's the best player of all the media, who's the best player? And he goes, you know what? I got to give a shout out to my guy, Matt Steinmetz. He's a real baller. He's Larry Bird. He's unstoppable. I said, whoa, okay. You know what? You made me proud, Steiny. So
This was on their show.
Check it out.
I got it taped at the house. I'm sick and jealous. Oh my goodness, this could be big.
This could be really big, G Money.
Oh my goodness.
Steiny is not selling wolf tickets. It's official. He's a baller. They called you Larry Bird, my guy.
We had Broussard on this morning, right at the start of the show. Man.
Check that out when you get home, Goo.
I'll send him the vote. Yeah, I'm gonna send him the recording.
Hey, thanks, G-Money. Appreciate it. You're gonna send
Damn,
me.
It's going. I'm gonna send. I'll tape the TV and send it to
I
you.
I should almost skip the crossover. Ensure that I get out of here in a good mood after G-Money.
Evan, what is going on,
dude? That was on TV.
Yeah,
FS1.
Dude, I got it. It's set to record.
Wreck it.
Yeah. Boy, you're having a good week, man.
Brew. Those aren't boos.
Come out of retirement.
They're saying brew, as in Broussard.
There's a part of this that's bothering me.
I know there is, and I love it.
Now, what bothers you, Goo?
That I'm not, like, I'm still hooping, and it's for nothing. Evan, it's on TV now in New York.
It's all over the country.
It's actually still going on right now.
Dude, that's great, man.
Oh,
I'll
man.
Send you the clip. I'll videotape it on TV.
Yeah, sure you will.
No, I will.
You said you're mad.
I just wish you mentioned Steiny and Guru. Hopefully you mentioned the show. But
All right. Crossover next. That segment sponsored by Moderna.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.